Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
You got the wiser and smarter and now graduate Maria Bailey today on Mom Talk Radio. I am so excited. Graduation is behind me. I graduated from the University of Notre Dame last weekend, had all the pomp and circumstance and circumsums and all those whatever goes along with graduation. It was so awesome. So if you've been following along for the last 2 years with me on this journey, I actually graduated with my son, which was so cool. We kept running into each other in our cap and gowns on the field and at different events. And it was just a spectacular day that I just could never imagine that I would be doing, particularly with one of my children. And I hope I didn't embarrass them too much, you know, because us moms, we do that, right? As we walked across the stage and did all of that. Anyways, I'm excited to be here and share today with you. And graduation was all, that's so last week. Now we're into a new week and a new mom talk. A lot of really great guests that we have. We're going to be talking about how you can get in sync as a parent, because we have the author of The Out of Sync Parent and Kid. So we're going to learn a little bit about that. It's amazing how your kids get older, and you do. You kind of have to stay in sync with them because there's so many changes that go on in life, and it's just really kind of crazy that they eventually grow up. And anyways, they grow up. So we have a full show, and I want to thank our sponsor, Premama. You can go to drinkpremama.com and thank them yourself by going and purchasing some of their product. Maybe they help us stay on the air. So check out drinkpremama.com for all of your lactation, prenatal, and infertility supplements. Really good stuff, and it's flavorless, goes into your drink. It's just a powder form, and you can get your prenatal vitamins without choking on that big, like, horse pill that we always have to take as we try to give our children before they're born a little nutrition. So we have a great show lined up, and when we return, we have got the author of The Out of Sync Child Grows Up, and you're going to get a lot of unbelievable information from Carol when she joins us next on Mom Talk.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
I'm excited to have with us today the author of The Out of Sync Child Grows Up. She is also the author of The Out of Sync Child and The Out of Sync Child Has Fun. She's co-authoring the book Growing on an In Sync Child. She has her master's degree from the George Washington University Graduate School of Education. She's a former preschool teacher, and her name is Carol Stock Kranowitz. And she's joining us today to talk a little bit about what is an out of sync child and sensory processing disorder. So welcome, Carol, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, it's so great to be here.
So can you quickly explain to us what sensory processing disorder is?
SPD is what happens when we are taking in sensory messages through our body and from the environment around us. And in the central nervous system, these messages get garbled or derailed. And so it's like a traffic jam in the brain. And instead of having the messages come in and direct our smooth, functional responses, our responses become atypical. So we don't take our hand away from the fire fast enough, or we don't duck when the frisbee comes through the air. And many people with sensory processing disorder will be over responsive to ordinary sensations that don't bother other people, mm-hmm. or they may crave sensations that are in excess of what other people find satisfactory. And then sensory issues also affect motor coordination and just doing what you want to do.
I have a daughter who suffers from this processing disorder. And what's interesting is it took us so long for someone to diagnose it. And as a mom, she was my fourth child, and I knew that something just wasn't right. I mean, as an infant, she could smell something 100 miles away. She would always walk around going, "What's this smell? What's this smell?" Like, how does this child smell something that I can barely smell? And then things that typically a child would enjoy, like ketchup, would sting her mouth, and pizza. She doesn't like pizza. But then also there were other things, like she didn't seem to have boundaries around her space. So she wouldn't realize that she, like, if she moved her hand, it was going to slap me across the face. Or, you know, when she was 7 years old, she wouldn't look both ways to cross the street. And I knew that there was something wrong, but no one could ever figure it out. And I just kept pushing. So is that typical?
Yes. Yes. There's so many things that are, well, typical is a funny word. We talk about typical as if kids who don't have any of these sensory issues. But you're describing behavior that's typical of children who are atypical. And it sounds like she was under-responsive to some sensations, for instance, crossing the street. She was over-responsive to others, like her gustatory or taste sense, her olfactory or smell sense. And this is common in children who might be over-responsive to one or three or eight kinds of senses, because we have eight sensory systems, and yet under-responsive to others. And it can be even different on different days. A very common combination in kids with SPD is over-responsivity to touch and sound. So they clap their hands over their ears and they shrink away from grandma's kiss or from somebody casually grazing a foot under the table, or they'll overreact, we think, but it's like they perceive these sensations as hostile and threatening. And that same kid who's over-responsive to certain sensations might crave movement, which we call vestibular sensation. This is a child who's always upside down and climbing every ladder and climbing every bookcase and running and and spinning and needing a lot of physical input. And that can be in one kid.
When my daughter, she just loves to be hugged and loves for people to rub her back or rub any part. Like, she just likes the stimulation of someone rubbing her arm or rubbing her back. And to the point where, as a mom, at the end of the day, I was just like, oh, no, not one back, more back rub. You know, it can be exhausting to be around this child. A lot of the misdiagnosis was that she was hyperactive or she had ADHD. So can you speak a little bit about that? Like, how do you know the difference?
Yeah. And SPD does overlap a lot with ADD or ADHD, but sometimes it does not overlap. How do you tell the difference? One exciting way is that now it's like MRI, it's equipment that can really take a good look at what's going on in the brain. And Elisa Marco is the name of a scientist who's leading a lot of this research in California, and she's finding that the white matter of kids with SPD is different from the white matter in the brains of children with autism and ADHD. So we're getting some terrific, tangible evidence of the physical differences. But for most of us who don't have that fancy equipment, we have to look at the behavior. And one thing is to ask yourself, is there a sensory reason that my child is shrinking away from whatever this activity is? It could be a door slamming. It could be that smell down the block that your little girl detected of a dog pooping or something that no one else could notice.
Right.
But, you know, put on sensory goggles. Look at your child through these sensory lenses and try to figure out what the antecedent is, because children with ADHD, if they don't have SPD also, will not mm-hmm. be offended by the sensations that offend right. kids with SPD. So ask yourself, is my child trying to get away from certain sensations? Is my child trying to get specific sensations, like more movement, like
right.
jumping?
So your child gets a little older now, and it's socially awkward. So in about 1 minute, can you tell me, like, where do you go or how do you deal with this?
Yeah, because little kids grow up, and it is not right. detected easily. Not many pediatricians or teachers know about SPD, which has been around right. for a long time. What you do is you go to a pediatrician or a children's hospital where and ask in advance, do you know something about SPD? Don't waste your time. Talk to a pediatrician who can recommend an occupational therapist who practices sensory integration techniques. We want,
right.
it's called OTSI. That's what you're looking for. The OT then will do an assessment of the child, looking for the sensory messages that discombobulate your child.
Mm-hmm.
And then your child can go on and get therapy, or you can also, and or you can do a home program when you're focused on what are the physical activities that will help a child overcome
right.
some of these issues.
Well, and of course, we want everyone to pick up your book because it's got a lot of really great information on it, in it, and we have a link on Mom Talk Radio. If you're dealing with this, it's just great to have this information. So thank you so much for joining us today, Carol. And when we return, we're going to turn our spotlight on one mom who is doing some pretty amazing things through her husband's profession, and we're going to talk to her in just a second. I'm very excited to have with me Shannon. She's the mother of two, a three-year-old and a one-year-old, which means she's very, very busy. But in her spare time, her third child is her blog and website, wheremyheartblog.com. And you can find her on Twitter at the same name of Where My Heart Blog. And she's here to talk a little bit about what she's doing. Shannon, welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. My husband is a captain on an oil rig ship in the Gulf of Mexico. For 3 weeks at a time, my husband is out to sea, and we do not see him. The reason why I blog is because I'm usually on my computer emailing him. So he's gone for over half the year, and usually I think I asked him, I'm like, how long do you think you are, like, gone? How many days? Because when he's home, sometimes he has to go to training. So we estimated about 220 days he is gone. And so I'm alone, and I don't have my mom. My mom passed away 8 years ago. So I lean on some people, and I just wanted to give some tips on how to do it alone. I know that there are single moms out there. There are women like me, or maybe military moms, or even just the stay-at-home mom who's, you know, doing her hardest work while her husband's at work during the day. So I want to give, like, three little tips that can brighten that that's not stress.
So what is the number one tip that you would give moms?
First, have fun. Put aside those expectations. How your house should look, how your kids should behave, because really, when your house is filled with love and giggles and happiness, nothing bad can come from that, and that's what I want my house to be filled with, is giggles, not tears, and
right.
So just have fun. And when we're having a tough day, and we have our tough days, I'm like, oh, we need music. So, you know, I want my kids to be surrounded by music where we can dance and we can laugh and we can just be silly. I think like a child. That's kind of my motto. Because my friend made a comment, and it's just something that really just sticks with me, is no one remembers how well you clean a house. Like, when you're gone, mm-hmm. no one remembers yep. that. They remember the way you made them feel. And I can speak from experience. Like, I think of all the wonderful things my mom did and how she made me feel when she was here, and how the things I remember most is her, like, dancing in the living room and her laughter. And that's what I want my kids to remember me from. I want them to feel loved. I want them to know that I'm funny. Maybe, you know, I know during teenage years they probably won't think I'm funny. But, and I want them to see me being, like, fearless, where my mom was never afraid to break out a move or sing off key. And hopefully, you know, I can have that influence on them to be confident women in themselves.
So what do you do about the loneliness of you as a just as a woman? Like, how do you maintain your relationship with your husband?
Oh my goodness. Well, when he's gone, we email each other at least twice a day, and he tries to call, you know, a couple times a week. I have to remind myself that he's not away because he wants to be away. He's away because he wants to provide for our family. And, so when we're together, we can have a load of fun. Like, we can go to Disney World and we can, go to the zoo and go to the beach and have those, moments when he is home. Honestly, it works out perfectly for us. I feel that we get that time apart where we don't take the time we have together for granted. And, I'm like, I wish everyone could kind of do it, but that's
right.
it's everything I'm used to. Like, I'm not used to anything else.
I
tell my friends, if I had had children and he didn't have this job before, I don't know if I would feel the same way. But since this is all I know, I make it work.
Right. Tell everybody again where they can find your blog and where they can find you on social media.
Okay. Yes. Well, you can find me at my new blog. I recently rebranded. It's wearmyheartblog.com, and it's the same name, wearmyheartblog.com, on Instagram and Twitter.
It's all there, right on social media. And thank you so much for joining us today, Shannon. And we'll have a link to your blog on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we've got Donna Buzo with us, and she is going to empower you with awesome information that she accumulated while being on the air on television for 15 years.
Succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
I am excited to have with us a veteran of the TV world for 15 years. She was on the air appearing on Today, all the Chicago TV stations, The Morning Blend, and many, many more. She's written for Chicago Parent, Make It Better, Family Circle, Working Mom, and American Baby. And she's here to share some of her knowledge with you. She's Donna Buzo. And
Buzo.
Donna Buzo. And she is here to share some of her experience with you. And I want to welcome Donna to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Donna.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being here. So tell me, first of all, as a mom, what do you think is the most important thing to take into consideration with kids?
Well, you know, it's so, you know, everyone's playing this crazy game called family, you know, in between the grocery shopping and the violin lessons and visits to the vet. I think it's easy to forget the fun. I think it's easy to forget creating a fun vibe, a life is great vibe when you're together and really enjoying your time together and using that time to, you know, create family memories. I mean, it's really easy to get caught up and frantic and go from place to place and forget all that.
Yeah, it is. And so how do you create that vibe in your family?
Well, you know, lots of different ways. In fact, that's some of the things I talk about in my book. I have 427 simple, fantastic ways to create family fun. But I think you have to make it I think the key is to make it easy peasy, simple and easy. Otherwise, you don't do it. You know, you have all these big plans. You're like, oh, we should do a craft for Earth Day, or we should do this for Mother's Day. Oh, but I have to run to Michael's, and I have to go to the store, and I should invite some friends, and that means we should clean the house. And, you know, before you know it, you've lost all your time and the moments kind of pass. So I always encourage people to look for really easy ways to enjoy time together. Now, that could be maybe setting the table for dinner under the dining room table. So for little ones, how fun is that to be eating under the dining room table one night and very simple, or maybe venturing off to a nearby golf course with a blanket and everyone lays down and you draw the night sky on black construction paper with chalk or white crayons and little clipboards, even grab some of those glow-in-the-dark stars to stick on the ceiling that night, you know, trace the constellations that they learn. But just looking for easy ways to spend time together.
So I, this past weekend, actually had the opportunity during my graduation ceremony to listen to a speech that Joe Biden gave. And what's interesting is the thing that stuck out the most for me is he talked about like finding a balance in your life. And the balance is not the balance that we typically think of, but he was talking about how easy it is to rationalize yourself out of things, right? And so I love the idea of going to the golf course and laying down on the ground and looking at the night sky. But how many of us as moms will rationalize ourselves by saying, you know, oh my gosh, if, you know, I don't have time for that because it's more important to go to this PTA meeting because it's going to better the school for my kids. Or we rationalize ourselves until reality hits. And then we realize, oh my gosh, my child's already in the fifth grade and I never got to throw out the tablecloth and have a picnic under the dining room table. So how do you find those moments? Because they're all great ideas, but
what we
rationalize ourselves out of them.
Everything's so seriously, you know, and it, you know, we treat fun like it's folly. Well, it turns out it's not folly. It's not just the, you know, extra sprinkles on the cake of life. It's actually the, you know, the rich stuff that holds it all together. And there's science behind it. And that's what I do in my book. I explore the science behind fun. I mean, you hear the saying, you know, family plays together, stays together. But there's actual proof. There's research behind that, how it increases bonding. You know, having fun in life helps us. It makes us healthier, helps us live longer. We create richer memories together, and it makes your children happier. When you're doing things that you enjoy with them, they're happier. And not only will you make your children happier, you also make your great-grandchildren happier. Research just found because we organically pass our behaviors on to further generations. And so I think that's what I hope from this book, is to give people permission to enjoy life. Now, it's not going to be a raging 12-hour disco party every day, but you got to look for these little bits of time. You know, I say it's like folding big chunk of fun in little bits of time. Just look for things to do that will just, the kids will still talk about. I have three teens, and they still talk about the summer they painted the basement and stuff that we did, and I could never do that now.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and I just wanted to get your perspective on it because it's pretty amazing how fast it leaves. And then before you know it, you're like, doggone it, I never got to do X, Y, Z with my child. So I wanted to get your take on that. So we have just, like 2 minutes left. Can you talk about a little bit about what's on your blog and what's in your book so that, I can send everyone to pick up a copy?
Sure, sure. And let me address that, too. You said that, you know, it goes by too fast. So I always encourage people to find tricks to put fun in first. So, you know, have the kids invite a friend along. Like if you're mm-hmm. itching to get to that museum after preschool and you never seem to do it because you always come home first and there's dishes in the sink and there's a million other things to do, go ahead and have them invite a friend. Pack lunches so when you pick them up, they eat the lunch in the car so you're not coming back home and all of a sudden you're on somebody else's schedule. And it's planned. Look for easy ways. I think that makes things easy too. And just have fun on the ready. And I hope that's what the book does. I mean, we have 427 ideas for you that are all spelled out, and you can go ahead and just open up the book one day and go, oh my goodness, we have some time, what can we do? Or you can kind of read ahead and figure some things that you want to kind of keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, that's really, really good, good advice. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we have a link to your website on Mom Talk Radio as well. And any parting words in the next 60 seconds that might help moms remember that fun aspect?
Well, you know, I'm going to just echo what you said. It goes by so quickly. I mean, believe me, it goes by so quickly. So enjoy family fun on. Look for ways to create those memories now. I mean, be the mom you want them to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Donna, for being with us today and all of your advice. We have a link on Mom Talk Radio, a woman with a lot of wisdom, so you want to check out her blog. When we return, we're going to be talking with Emily Davis. She is the foster care supervisor at Kids in Distress, and we're going to talk about child abuse and what you can do to help those children in your community.
For busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am really excited to have with us a representative of Kids in Distress. It was actually an organization that my stepmother helped to found in South Florida. So it's really cool to see that it's still here doing well. We're going to let Emily Davis, who is the foster care supervisor at Kids in Distress, talk a little bit about their mission and prevent and how we can help and support children in our community who may be suffering from abuse. So welcome, Emily, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thank you.
So tell me a little bit about what Kids in Distress does and who they serve.
Sure. Our mission at Kids in Distress is to prevent child abuse, preserve the family, and treat children who have been abused and neglected. So we have two campuses in South Florida, in Broward County and in Palm Beach County. In Broward County, they have an array of services for families, things that include a dental clinic for low-income families, as well as aftercare, preschool. There's a family counseling clinic. And here in Palm Beach County, which is where I work, we focus on foster care. And so my job is to recruit foster parents. Once we've recruited them to become a foster parent, we train them, we license them, and then we support them through the process of being a foster parent and having a child placed in their home.
And so what does it entail to become a foster parent?
Here we require that you are able to pass a background check. So you can't have any felonies on your record. You have to have a stable and sufficient income, meaning you have to have some proof of income. And then you have to go through a 7-week training. We call it partnership in parenting. Here in Palm Beach County, it's 7 weeks, once a week. We run them on Thursdays for a couple of hours, and it gives you a run through of what your journey is going to be like as a foster parent, try to prepare you for what's ahead. Once you've gone through the training, then we come out and do a home visit and write what's called a home study. The home study is roughly a 20-page document that goes through your life history and why you're motivated to be a foster parent. And then that information is all submitted to the Department of Children and Families, who will then issue a license, and you become a licensed foster parent after that. So it's pretty simple.
And so on the side of the foster parent, who makes a good foster parent, and you know, what is the intent of the fostering relationship?
Sure. The intent for a foster child is always to be reunified with their biological family. So a child is removed from their biological family, and the state that they live in always want to send the child to live back with their parents, as long as the parents have done, have essentially proven that they have learned from their experience, so to speak. So what makes a good foster parent is someone who can provide a loving and stable home to a child that they don't know for a period of time, and be able to support the reunification process, be able to support the biological family, and work with them in order to educate them sometimes to give them a better idea of what a stable and loving parent means.
And so as far as like people, everyday moms and dads, what can we do to help the cause and keep kids, I guess, safe in our local community as far as identifying child abuse?
I think it's important to always use your voice. If you feel like you have seen something where a child is in danger, make sure you bring that to the attention of the authorities. But if you have space in your home and you are a loving person, I always encourage people to consider becoming a foster parent. But at the very least, if maybe you can even express the need for foster parents throughout our country, I think that that's important too. Just be aware that child abuse does happen everywhere, and be a voice for that child is very important.
Yeah, very, very important to identify and speak up if you see that. And so what, tell me also where folks can go to get additional information. Maybe they know someone in Palm Beach or they live in Palm Beach themselves. And I'm sure that there's national organizations as well that folks can seek out, right?
Sure. Here in Palm Beach County, like I said, I work at Kids in Distress, so our website is www.kidinc.org. You can go there for more information. If you live in the state of Florida, you can definitely go on to the state of Florida's Department of Children and Families website, and they'll probably be able to direct you for more information on how to become a foster parent, as well as any other state. The Department of Children and Families is pretty standard throughout the country. So if you are looking to be a foster parent, I would start there, Department of Children and Families.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Really important issue. And, you know, if you're a loving parent, step up and be a foster parent, because there are so many loving children out there who just need a positive person in their life, and you could be that person. And when we return, we're going to dig into the archives to one of my favorite segments. To have with us today the editorial director of Live Happy, Deb Heiss. She is responsible for the management and development of Live Happy. It's a business, and she's doing great things over there. And since I want to get as much as we can in, I'm going to welcome Deb right now to Mom Talk Radio. So hi, Deb. How are you?
Great, Maria. Thanks for having me on.
Happy. Like, I mean, that's just a Live Happy. You would think that that's something that most people know how to do, but you wouldn't have a business around it if that was the case. So why is it so hard to live happy?
Well, we certainly know that most people want to live happy, but I don't think that people necessarily realize that they can. The reality is about 30 years ago, people started studying positive psychology, things that you could do to make yourself and your life better. But all that research was bouncing around in academic and scientific circles and wasn't really getting to the general public. And we happened on it about 3 years ago and said, wow, there's really, really something here that can help general people live happier, more meaningful, more rich lives. And we developed a business, including a magazine and a website, around getting that information out to people who were craving it. And it's been wonderful, and we're just having a great time doing it.
So how do you teach, like, what's the secret, you know? What kind of content do you provide that helps people live happy?
Well, you know, there's a lot of actual scientific-based information about things you can do to live happy. But it really centers around five areas. And Dr. Martin Seligman put this forward as a PERMA model. But PERMA stands for, you know, happiness, real happiness, not like the fleeting, hey, I love my cupcakes and they were good and now I feel guilty kind of happiness. But real happiness is based off of, positive emotions, but engagement, you know, engaging with the world around you, feeling like you're engaged with your coworkers or your family. Having positive accomplishments, having good, deep, positive, meaningful relationships, and then feeling like your life has meaning. So we provide content that helps you develop or gives you examples of people who are doing that and how they're doing that, and actual real tips on things that you can do to implement in your life. And the reality is, it's not difficult, but it's also not easy, because it's things that you have to do all the time.
And I'm just wondering, aren't there certain people out there who just don't want to be happy? Because I feel like I know these people.
I think that it's really not that they don't want to be happy. I think it's they don't realize that they can be happy. I mean, research has shown us that, you know, that of happiness is determined, only 50% is determined by your genetic makeup. So certainly there are people that are more predisposed to be less happier than other people. But 10% is by your environment. And I think most people think my life is just horrible, you know, that they seem like they don't want to be happy and they find everything wrong with their life. But really only 10% of your environment influences your happiness. The reality is that your happiness is influenced 40%, which is a pretty astounding number, by the things you do and the choices that you personally make. So you can choose to take the traffic as, oh my gosh, I'm late for work and I'm never going to get there and this is the worst thing that could ever happen. Or you could say, hey, you know what, I got an extra 15 minutes in my car to listen to my radio, reflect on what my day is going to be like, and not spend your time being angry at the people around you because their cars aren't going away anyway. So it really is a mindset thing. And I don't think most people realize that they can choose to be happy. And I think that's really what we're about, is educating people about that.
Well, it seems like it's just something that everybody needs, and particularly moms. I want to mention the website. We're going to run out of time soon. Livehappy.com is the website, and a lot of great information there. Deb is there supplying it for you, so take advantage of it. Thank you, Deb, so much for joining me on Mom Talk Radio, and because of you, we're all going to be a little bit happier today. So thanks so much for joining me. And you guys, we got a 3-day weekend, so let's take advantage of it. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you get out and do something fun with your family. Hope the weather is good wherever you are. And I certainly hope that you'll be back to join me next week. Don't forget, though, if you miss any of our shows, you can find us and download us onto your smartphone by going to the App Store. You'll find us there. And take Mom Talk Radio along with you wherever you go. Love to be with you. I love to be your pal and companion. So download our free app and you will find us there and take us along with us. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. You never know what I'm doing. And these days I'm doing a lot of periscoping. So check me out when I go live on Periscope by following me on Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. Everybody have a great week, and we'll be back again next week.